Hello, this is David Gray with the Livingston Parish News. I am here with two special guests from Air Products. The last several weeks, this has been one of the big topics in the parish. Air Products is building a $4.5 billion plant in Ascension Parish, and they're going to be storing the CO2 emissions from that plant, a new science that has been touted as a way to combat climate change. And they're going to, one of the big reasons why this has become an issue locally is because one of the hubs is underneath Lake Maurepaugh, and that has concerned a lot of residents. And Air Products has they've wanted to come out and sort of, I guess, set the record straight, if you will. So let's introduce our two guests. If y'all don't mind, just take a minute to introduce yourselves and some of your background, please.
You go first, Meryl.
I'm Mariel Schottenfeld, and I'm the head geologist for Air Products. My background is as a geologist. I've worked in oil and gas. I've worked a little bit in mining, and I've worked sequestration projects before, and I'm excited to be here.
All right. And then you, sir?
Thank you very much. I'm Andrew Connolly from Air Products. I'm vice president of low-carbon hydrogen businesses. I've been with Air Products 33 years. Mm-hmm. In various different roles and functions, engineering, business management, and project management.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much for coming and speaking with me today, and hopefully for our audience. And like I said, I know y'all wanted to sort of get your message out there. I know y'all have been at a lot of these public meetings in Livingston, Tangahoa, St. John the Baptist, and sometimes it's hard to get your message across when people feel passionately about this, and y'all understand that. So I guess kind of what are y'all wanting, if y'all don't mind saying, what are y'all just wanting to accomplish with this podcast today?
I think we want to make sure that people have an opportunity to listen, understand, and for us to be able to correct some of the incorrect information that's out there about this project, and it's also to answer any questions that have been passed on to you that maybe the community has that have been asked of you to ask of us.
So first of all, what is the status of the project currently right now, if you don't mind answering?
So where we are on the project today, we expect the project, it won't come online until the back end of 2026. Mm-hmm. So we're really at the front end stage of the project where we're getting our permits. We expect to have the air permit for the plant in Ascension early next year. And at that point, we'll actually start construction of the main facility. Relative to the CO2 sequestration, we're very much at the front end of that. We have our permits to be able to conduct the seismic testing. We have a demonstration that was planned for this week that has now been moved to Monday because of the weather. And once we've done that demonstration, we'll go into the seismic testing part of the sequestration. And that's used to verify that the area under Lake Maurepaugh is safe and suitable for sequestration. That activity is then what is used to provide all the information that is needed for when we actually go for our permit to sequestrate. So we should be applying for that permit towards the end of 2023.
So as of right now, could y'all have all the necessary permits to do the seismic testing as of right now, or are y'all still waiting on another permit?
No, we have everything we need today to conduct the seismic testing. We haven't done that yet. Mm-hmm. We committed to do a demonstration before we go into the seismic testing. And we hope now to have that demonstration on Monday, obviously weather permitting.
And could you explain a little bit of that demonstration, what people can expect? And it could also lead into a conversation of the seismic testing in general, because that's a concern that a lot of people, y'all heard the concerns, I've heard concerns, people expecting dynamite explosions and that sort of stuff. So please, if you don't mind, first of all, saying what the demonstration will entail, and then just kind of what the testing encompasses in general.
So I'll cover the first bit of what the demonstration entails, and I'll hand off to Muriel to cover the actual seismic testing in more detail. So it's a public demonstration. We've invited local elected officials We will have three boats out there. We'll meet at a specific location. We'll take people out to the test site. There will be a safety briefing before we go out anywhere. And what we'll do is we'll release a charge so that people can actually see what the seismic testing looks like. There is an exclusion zone around the testing of 1,000 feet, which is a regulatory requirement. So we will be making sure that we meet that requirement. It's also open to people who want to go out there in their own boat. Mm-hmm. So those people will meet at the same location as the boats that we have available for elected officials. We'll go out to the test site in a caravan, and they'll be able to witness the test as well.
So what is that test?
I'll hand over to Mariel.
So the test is just one of what would otherwise be the rest of the program. It's going to be exactly the same. And so what that is a small charge, about a quarter the size of the regulatory needs of or allowances for this type of project. It is about five pounds of a charge that is buried 60 feet below the water bottom. Mm-hmm. So very far below. And it has a double safety system with it. So only the project's our seismic company is able to do anything with that charge. No one else can go off and set it off accidentally otherwise. And so basically just what it is it's a way to form a sound wave. And we use that sound wave to map out form a 3D map of the subsurface for the project.
And so this is broken up into six phases, correct? This testing process.
So that's the overall, that's not just this one test for the public, that is the overall seismic study.
Yes.
And the six phases were specifically designed so that the lake is as open as possible throughout the entire life of this seismic program. Mm-hmm. Now the lake, other than the 1,000 feet exclusion zone of individual charges each time, the entire lake is open at any time. We've had that question before. There's no boundaries put up or anything like that. There are going to be cane poles around the lake, but they are accessible to go around by the public.
And you mentioned that people have had concerns about accessibility to the lake because of this. But and we were talking about it earlier in the meeting that this type of testing has. This isn't necessarily new to Lake Maurepaugh, correct? Could you go into of that y'all seen or studied?
So historically, this has been going on in Lake Maurepaugh for decades in a type of seismic called 2D seismic, where we take a line of that seismic. But the essential process has always been this, or not always been the same. It's been in the past dynamite charges that have again been buried below the mud line. And that's been, again, there have been multiple lines shot, I think over 30 lines shot over Lake Maurepaugh in the last several decades. And there's been no known environmental damage. We've also had our independent environmental consultants of Southeastern Louisiana University take a look at the dates of those seismic surveys, because they've got decades themselves of research on the lake. And so we wanted to make sure that they could see the before and after effect. And so they will be there for our test, and they've been doing baseline studies. And so we will be leaning on them to help provide public information about the test.
Is there any idea when that? I know y'all announced the partnership last month. Is there any idea on when they might start making that data information publicly available, or is it still?
So that's really a great question for Southeastern.
Okay.
Right. This is their data. Mm-hmm. They're there as an independent expert to assess the condition of the lake. Mm-hmm. As Muriel said, they have a lot of old data.
Yeah.
So they can look at the impact of seismic testing in the past. They have and are out there doing a baseline at the moment of the lake before we do anything. And they are going to be in place monitoring the lake over the life of the project.
A couple more quick notes on the testing before we get into the more of the project. Right now, they have been assessing and mapping out Lake Maurepaugh. Is that correct? Y'all have had people assessing and mapping out the lake, just trying to, I guess, figure out where. Now, will there be notifications on where charges would be on a particular, on any given day? Will people be able to know that so that they can avoid that 1,000-foot zone?
Yeah. So what we're doing, we've been doing it for some time. There is a weekly update that goes out that's also posted on social media, and it covers what activities we have going on the lake. In addition, the people we're using to do the seismic testing, they are very, very experienced in this, and they will be actively ensuring that the 1,000-foot exclusion zone, when the seismic charges are actually going off, is patrolled and kept clear.
Okay. Well, let's get into a little bit of the project in general, because people's question is, why Livingston Parish? Why here? So I guess, and I don't know if this is a question for Mariel maybe, what's specifically about the geologic makeup of Lake Maurepaugh, underneath Lake Maurepaugh, makes it suitable for what y'all are trying to do through air products?
Absolutely. So Lake Maurepaugh, or that region around Lake Maurepaugh, is particularly special. There are a number of geologic factors that we look at to see if an area is suitable for sequestration, and that includes an understanding of whether or not there is rock that we can inject into that is covered by rock that is known as impermeable. There's no space for things like CO2 to travel through it, so it keeps the CO2 where it is, and that's known to exist in many places around Louisiana. But there's a few other specific factors that we need to look at to make sure it's a safe project, and specifically it's the idea of We need to make sure there are no leak points anywhere nearby, and that can include wells from old oil fields or things like that. Lake Maurepaugh has very few wells around there, and they are concentrated in Livingston Parish. So we can map those out and don't have to worry about too many of them, and we can fix if the LDNR, the Louisiana Department of Natural Resources, looks them over and helps us decide. We can mitigate a few versus many. And Louisiana has so many old oil fields, it's very difficult to find an area that avoids those. It's also known there's not too many faults in Lake Maurepaugh. One of the things the seismic helps us see is exactly where they are, so we can avoid them. But there's not too many in the lake, so we can actively avoid them. And there's also no nearby salt domes, which is very important to us. Louisiana has seen multiple disasters, quite frankly, around salt domes, and we will not take that chance. Things that happen around salt domes, lots of oil and gas production, so more wells. Faults happen around salt domes, and we just don't want to be anywhere near them. And so Lake Maurepaugh gives us the opportunity to avoid all of those things.
And through this testing, and I guess this testing is to just confirm what y'all believe about Lake Maurepaugh, what makes it suitable for this. Explain a little bit of the process, because I think that is something that people, I guess, would be good to understand, is that it's not just necessarily, I guess, a rubber stamp. You're just doing the test to make a certain step, that the testing actually has to confirm what y'all believe, or else you won't get your permits. I mean, so I guess to explain a little bit of the strict regulations that y'all have to meet for a project like this.
Yeah, so I'll give a high level and then maybe hand over to Muriel. So we take the seismic data. That forms part of your application to actually sequestrate, which is a Class 6 well application. That application today is governed by the EPA. So the EPA looks at the geology. They do an independent assessment of the geology, that it's safe and stable for sequestration. And there are a lot of other things they do before they will issue a Class 6 sequestration injection permit. I don't know whether you have anything to add.
So one of the things that the Class 6 permit does is it's under the regulatory, it's under the Federal Code of Regulations for the Safe Water Drinking Act. And so the Class 6 permit is not just to sequester CO2, but it's there to ensure that the water remains safe before you can do that, the drinking water above. And so the seismic study, as well as a test well, a stratigraphic test well, is needed to show that you know exactly what the geology is. What we've used in the past and how we've evaluated so far is with some of the old seismic lines that have been shot over Lake Maurepas in the past and some of the old oil and gas wells in the area. But we need to show we understand more in a 3D sense what exactly is happening there. And so that's what these tests are for. And ultimately, that will go into the Class VI permit if it is found to be suitable for sequestration.
And the water table, you mentioned that. I know that's one of the concerns. It's one of the main concerns that people that y'all have heard at these meetings, I've heard, is, you know, will it affect the water table? And your, I mean, we could say expert opinion, you are an expert on this topic. I mean, what do you feel that there is no, if the tests, I guess, come back positively, then there is no risk to that?
Right. And so you have to show you know exactly where the water table is. Now, Louisiana has its own databases under SONRS, the Louisiana Department of Natural Resources website. You can see in wells around where that water table is. And what we have to do is show we know exactly where it is, which we will do. Again, we will be doing these testing to confirm. And then a Class VI permit specifically cites that you must have a zone of rock that is thick and protects the water table from the sequestration site below. Mm-hmm. And so all of this data we are collecting, everything that goes into a Class VI permit is actually to prove that you are protecting the water table.
So I guess just as a, to give people a visual, mm-hmm. even though this is an audio medium, you would have water table, mm-hmm. Impermeable rock.
Exactly.
Pipe. Below it, correct? Is that
yes?
Yeah,
so
correct?
There's a couple more layers that are important. So it's just the pipe; it's the well goes through it, and uh-huh. that is the well itself. All around it is sealed off mm-hmm. to protect the water table. Again, below that is the something that's called the reservoir, or where you inject. So it's a sandstone, a nice porous rock, and then below that actually has to be yet another thick impermeable layer, so the CO2 can't travel down either. And you have to prove you have all those parts of the system that are not just in the spot of the well, but the 3D seismic shows you have that everywhere you expect to go.
Okay.
I think the other thing that's important, it's not just our assessment.
Mm-hmm.
It's the EPA's
correct.
Assessment
okay.
that it is stable. So we have to pull all this information together. We have to provide that to the EPA, but it's up to them. And they have to verify that information. They have to verify that it's suitable, safe, and that the water table is protected before they will issue a permit. So it's not, there's
ultimately
a check.
It's not y'all's decision.
It's not our decision, correct.
Yeah. Okay. And kind of, I guess, going a little off topic, but kind of related, but it's all related. But one thing we were talking about earlier that there is some more that people have had concerns about and asked y'all about, should there be something like a leak, something like that? We talked about that in our pre-podcast meeting, and you kind of wanted to explain, say, should there be a leak? I guess people have in their minds, you think of like an oil leak, you think of just oil, you know, shooting up in the air, so, you know, something like that. I guess should there be an accident like a CO2 leak? Could you kind of talk about the mechanisms that are in place to stop that? And kind of what that would look like should that happen.
Yeah, I'll talk about the pipeline side and maybe mm-hmm. Muriel talk about the well side. So the CO2 is piped from the facility, which is down in Ascension, up to Lake Maurepas. CO2 pipelines are regulated by the Department of Transportation. And as part of those regulations, you're required to have a leak detection system on the pipeline. So the types of leak detection systems that we use, they can detect leaks down to about a quarter of an inch.
Mm-hmm.
So if in the very, very unlikely event we had a quarter inch, half inch leak in the pipeline in Lake Maurepas, the impact is very, very localized. It's about a 5-foot radius of bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
There is no water shooting into the air. We would detect that leak. We pick it up and then we immediately shut down. So it's very, very localized impact. And maybe Muriel on the well side, and maybe the differences between, let's say, CO2 and how it's stored underground versus the risks with oil and gas.
So I think one of the things we have been finding is that people are thinking of oil and gas. CO2 acts very differently underground. Natural gas is naturally buoyant. CO2, once it's pumped underground, if you shut the system off, the system that's pumping it into place, the CO2 is not going to move. it'll stay where it is. And one of the things that you, what happens to the CO2 over the life of the sequestration project is a few things. Some of it just remains trapped under, we've talked about that, that impermeable layer. Mm-hmm. Some of it actually gets dissolved into the, that deep layer, and some of it eventually turns into rock. So it stays there. But we have to prove that we don't have leak points, and that can be from old wells. So we have to be able to show we know where every well near the area of the sequestering is. We have to go through the EPA and probably the LDNR as well to come up with, do we think any of these are a concern? And if so, we must plug and abandon them properly to protect the water table. And that basically seals off the well and anything that could travel through that impermeable layer. You have to show, are there faults, which we do with our seismic? We have to avoid them. And then we have a system of monitoring wells around the lake. Those monitoring wells have 24/7, 365 monitoring system, fiber optics, actually, that can measure every little inch of the of that subsurface system from the surface all the way over 9,000 feet deep. And it is monitoring that 24/7, 365 for the not only the life of the project, but 50 years after. And if CO2 is moving in an area we didn't model it or expect it to be going, we'd have to shut down the system until we figure out why and how it can be mitigated. So long before it ever gets to the water table, it stays there, because as soon as we shut off the pressure source, CO2 just sticks there. And if we figured out why if it's going anywhere else, we just wait until we figure it out. And we do nothing until it's mitigated.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that explanation. I know that's kind of one of the questions that a lot of people have had. And I kind of want to ask y'all a question, because like I said, this is y'all wanted to be able to kind of dispel some misinformation in y'all's eyes.
Yep.
What sort of concern, what's one of the biggest things that y'all feel like maybe is misunderstood about this project or projects like this, if you could think of one like that? Just something that y'all have heard at these meetings that these meetings get, like we said, quite contentious. You know, people get passionate, and so maybe sometimes that the message y'all are trying to get across doesn't necessarily get received because people are frustrated and concerned.
Yeah, I think just personally, I just think because it's new to the area,
mm-hmm.
Sequestration, CO2 sequestration has been going on globally for 50 years. I think there are close to 29 to 30 active sequestration sites today, where there's been no issue and no contamination of any water table. But there's a few locations in the US, not many. And I think it's just new.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a certain amount of just education and actually being the first out there with something that's new. There's going to be some natural skepticism. And there's work we need to do to educate people on sequestration, what it is, and also who we are as a company as well.
And Mary, you can answer that in a minute, but one thing you talked about, this has been done before. This is not, even though it's new to this area, it's still relatively new science. It's not brand new.
Correct.
Y'all have Port Arthur. Y'all have another, even though not the same sort of project that's going on here, but the same, it's kind of the same thing where you're not permanently sequestering the CO2, but you are taking it from a plant and transporting it, correct?
Correct. So we have a facility in Port Arthur today that makes hydrogen. Slightly different process than we're doing here, but very, very similar. And we do CO2 capture there. So we take the CO2 before it enters the atmosphere. We capture that and we pipeline that off to a third party, and they use that for enhanced oil recovery within both Texas and Louisiana.
And how long have you all been operating that one for?
I think about 2013,
yeah.
Almost 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And that facility, it captures about a million tons a year of CO2.
Mm-hmm. And Mariel, the question earlier, I didn't know if there was one particular piece of misinformation or something that you have noticed that you would like to get straight, if there's something like that that you have in mind.
Yeah, I think one of the concerns that we've heard from the public is that we're moving really fast. And I think people are confusing some of the wells and some of the data we're collecting. And we just definitely want to make sure people understand that what we're doing now, these are not injection wells. We do not have those. We haven't even applied for those permits yet. First, it's all about understanding what's there, just getting baseline data. So the wells we're talking about, those are just data collection wells. They will never be used for carbon capture and sequestration themselves or injection. And we are, you know, working to help spread that word that these aren't those wells. We first are just here to try to understand exactly what's below the surface. That's all that this phase is.
Going more to the safety, I guess. I know one thing people have been wondering about, and I don't know if this is y'all's department or not, but and we talked about an accident. Should an accident happen, do you have the mechanisms in place to stop something? Should there be, on what y'all are saying, the unlikely event that something like that happens, like a leak or something like that, there are mechanisms in place to stop it. What is there anything? Have y'all worked with local first responders or local officials on anything? Just you know, if there is some sort of safety measures that need to be put in place, have y'all worked with any of those?
Yeah, absolutely. The emergency response changes mm-hmm. with the different phases of the project.
Okay,
so I can talk about today. We have a very, very experienced company out there doing the seismic testing,
and that's Exodus, correct?
Yes. Yes. They have emergency response plans. They've worked with the local agencies to make sure that they understand the emergency response plans. So all that has been very, very closely coordinated. And as then the project moves forward, those plans are updated based on the specific activities. So the emergency response plan, you know, if we get to the point where we're actually injecting, that's different than the emergency response plan today, mm-hmm. but the principle is the same. We work very, very closely with the local emergency responders, all of those services, that they understand our plan. They participate in emergency drills that we do, but it is custom based upon the phase of the project.
One question that, and for listeners, you know, we reached out some local officials, and you know, there are a couple of residents who sent in questions. And one question, if y'all don't mind me asking, I believe I sent this in the questions that I sent y'all earlier, just some of the talking points, was about an environmental impact statement. Can any of y'all answer that, if there's one for this project, or if not, if or when one might be made available about this, and kind of what is an environmental impact statement?
So we're cooperating very, very closely with the Royal Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. So we're working with them currently on our environmental impact assessment to make sure we really understand kind of what they want, what they need, and that we're able to provide that. And so what the EIS does is looks at, you know, what are the potential environmental impacts of the project, and how we intend to mitigate those. So we'll work closely with the Corps of Engineers. They are one of the primary permitting agencies around putting that together, working with them.
Okay. Now kind of a personal bit for you, Andrew, because yep. you said that you went out and you met with some crabbers from Lake Maurepaw recently.
Yes.
And that's actually one of the updates that Air Products put on its update page, was that y'all had come up with some sort of policy, because like y'all have said in these meetings, y'all are, you know, doing your best, and, you know, people might not see it that way, and they have their reasons for it, but y'all are doing y'all's best in y'all's mind to be good neighbors and work with the community and not just come in here and, you know, just storm in the castle, if you will.
Correct.
Could you talk a little bit about that meeting and what you sort of saw from, you know, if you saw something from their point of view, if you could, even if you believe in what you were doing, could see that, could understand where their concerns come from.
Absolutely. So There was some concern around the activity on the lake and damage to certainly people's livelihoods, damage to crab traps, etc. So what we arranged was there was about 50 both commercial crabbers and recreational fishermen. We met with them. We had a very good open discussion around what really were the activities on the lake to make sure that, again, it was very clear they knew what we were doing, how we were going to do it, and how the work would progress. As part of that, there was a genuine concern around crab damage. And so we came up with an approach that we ran past them to get their input on how we should compensate for damaged crab traps. So I think it was a very good discussion with them. We have a strategy of how we're going to compensate for crab traps, and it's on the basis of if they believe a trap has been damaged by our activities, there's an email address and a telephone number they can call. They provide information along with their permit, the location of the crab trap. We'll review that along with our activities, and the compensation basis is a fully rigged trap. And the assumption is that trap had a full load of crab in it. So I think that was a good discussion with them. We didn't want to go just put something in place that, frankly, wasn't going to work for them. And so that step of saying, look, this is how we think we should compensate you for a damaged crab trap. Do you think that's reasonable? It was a good discussion.
Yeah. No. You got to spend a little bit of time on the lake that day too. So yeah,
yes.
It sounded like a good productive day. And one last thing, we're at the 30-ish minute mark, so we'll be wrapping it up in a minute. But after we have the demonstration on Monday, now it got moved because of the wind recently. And after that, because you said you have the permits to begin testing, to begin the seismic testing. Will it just the process after Monday? It's just seismic test is just full go, like y'all have been planning to do it.
Yeah, that is the intent.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. Well, if there's, are there anything else? Is there anything else that either you would like to say on this? Speaking to the people of the parish.
Yeah, I just think Air Products. We've been in business here in Louisiana for 50 years. We have 18 facilities between New Orleans and Plaquemine. We have 350 employees. We have a very good, very good reputation here as a safe, responsible, transparent operator. We fully intend to continue that approach with this project.
Mario, do you have anything you'd like to say, or is that
no? I think we look forward to more communication with the communities around the lake. We always welcome questions, and people are always welcome. We have an email address and a phone number that we just always welcome any more questions that people may have about the project.
All right. Well, thank Andrew, Mariel, thank you all very much for coming and speaking today. I know that this has been the topic of conversation in Livingston Parish for the last few months, and y'all, I've seen y'all at all these meetings, and I do appreciate y'all taking a few minutes to come and just explain it a little bit more. We understand that probably not everyone is going to be happy with this no matter what, but we did feel it was important to give y'all a chance to, express your side of Air Products uninterrupted. So thank y'all for agreeing to do this. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And we also appreciate the opportunity as well.
Yep. And once again, this is David Gray, news writer with Livingston Parish News. You can find us on every day on our website, www.livingstonparishnews.com. We also have a print edition that comes out every Thursday, and we're active on all of your social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. So that's where you can find this podcast. We did a podcast and a video, so you'll be able to find that on all of our social media platforms, and we will see you next time.